Moonglow, Michael Chabon's new novel, is like a moonshot to search for life before it can go dark. Mike, the narrator, goes to his grandfather on his deathbed. The strong painkillers crack open the stories the old man has kept under wraps for so long. The grandson can finally see his grandfather as a young man, who was an unheralded hero of the OSS in World War II, an engineer who dreamed of the stars, a pool hustler, a lover, and an unabashed felon. Moonglow is the latest novel by the Pulitzer Prize-winning novelist, essayist, screenwriter, and lyric writer, one of the most acclaimed literary stylists in America. Michael Chabon joins us now from Berkeley, California. Thanks so much for being with us, Michael.
Oh, thank you, Scott. I'm very happy to be here.
And to what degree is this your grandfather?
The genesis of the story, in many ways, definitely lies with my actual grandfather. I actually did spend a lot of time with my actual mother's actual father at the end of his life. He, very much like the grandfather in the book, he was lying in a rented hospital bed in my mother's house in Oakland, California, in terminal stages of cancer. He was on heavy painkillers, and his mind wandered, and it wandered into the past, and he brought out a whole bunch of stories and anecdotes that I had never heard before. And unlike the grandfather in my book, my actual grandfather was a big talker. He was not a taciturn man at all. He loved wordplay and language and told a lot of stories. And, you know, I probably figured at this point I'd heard all of his stories. I probably heard them all a couple of times. And yet I was hearing all of these things I had never heard before. It really did strike me that there was so much more in there than I had ever bothered to wonder about. And, of course, at this point, it was really too late to do anything about it.
I know you were born in Washington, D.C. Why does the grandfather in the book want to figure out a way to blow it up?
I mean, everybody feels that way.
I was about to point out.
Later. Yeah. The grandfather is a stickler. He has a very efficient, methodical engineer's mind. So as a young soldier with a little bit of a bloodthirsty nature, arriving in sleepy, somnolent Washington, D.C., that is in the middle of a war, it's after Pearl Harbor, but doesn't seem to really be shoring up its security leaks in the way that he feels is appropriate. He evolves this elaborate fantasy about how easy it would be for a small team of highly trained German commandos with a submarine to land not very far from Washington, D.C., and quickly subdue and conquer it in a matter of a few days. And he's so alarmed and terrified that no sooner has he had sort of the relish of conceiving this plan than he's afraid of it, and it seems too plausible to him, and he reports it to his superiors. They don't do anything about it, and he's so enraged that nothing is done that then he decides to implement just one small portion of it in play, essentially. But, you know, he can't suffer fools, and he can't suffer incompetence, and he can't suffer inefficiency and waste, and these things are both his blessing and his curse.
At one point, he's hauled before William Donovan, mm-hmm. Wild Bill, who we know from history, head of the Office of Strategic Services. He looks at the grandfather of this book and says, "One glance at you and I know the whole story. You've been looking for trouble all your life."
Yeah.
That could also be falling in love with the woman who is the grandmother of this book. And I developed a passion for his wife, too. Oh, my God, that's your grandmother, and this is on the verge of being highly improper. I'm sorry.
I know, right? Exactly. Yeah. No, it's a very weird feeling. I will say, to be writing, you know, there are certain, you know, scenes, there are love scenes in this book, and I'm writing them in the voice of the first-person narrator, and he's saying things like, you know, my grandmother took off her dress, and those words, my grandmother, had this sort of, like, sacrosanct quality. It felt very transgressive, I have to say, to be using my grandmother in a love scene.
I'll bet. Well, moving on.
Yes, absolutely. That's what attracts him to her from their first meeting. He can sense the dangerousness around her. She is mentally unstable. She's her personality is very fluid. She has suffered trauma that he doesn't really know anything about when they first meet that had something to do with her experience during the war. It's that dangerousness is that sense that there's this kind of shadow over her. And, you know, the image of the moon with its light side and its dark side, and the image in particular of the dark side of the moon, is a recurrent one in this book, and it's something that is part of him, and it's part of her, and it's part of their story together.
He makes the most romantic promise to her.
Yes, he does. He promises that he will take her away from all of this fury and blood and confusion and take her to the peace and tranquility of the moon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. God bless. I want to end with this if I can. You recently wrote the loveliest appreciation for your son, who is passionate about fashion.
Yes.
And as a father, I am touched by your awe of him.
Thank you. I think the hardest thing to do as a parent, I have two sons and two daughters, and this is equally true of my sons and daughters, the hardest thing to learn how to do as a parent is to get out of their way. And, you know, this kid made it a lot easier for me to know when to get out of his way.
You went to Fashion Week together, and you wrote about it so beautifully in GQ.
Yeah, exactly. And he just showed me that he was his own entity in ways that, you know, I was not surprised by, but and yet the reality of it and the my own insufficiency. Like, yes, I think I'm a good father. I do my best. I try my hardest. But there's some important, crucial, fundamental part of him that I can't be there for. I'm insufficient, and it's hard to accept. But somehow in the way that he helped me to that was also in some way typical of him, because he's very clear. He's not hard to, he's not enigmatic, let's put it that way.
Michael Chabon, his novel, Moonglow. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure, Scott. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.